good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This, the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. Let's begin the show with conversations around drink driving. Now, there have been calls for stricter laws and heavier punishments against those found guilty of drinking and driving. Former Transport Minister Anthony Lok and other DAP leaders have come forward today to urge the Perikatan National Government to speed up law amendments against drink driving. Anthony Lok said that the plan to amend the Road Transport Act 1987 had in fact been in the pipeline when he was holding the ministerial post. Meanwhile, PAS has called on the government to immediately suspend all productions, businesses and sales of alcoholic beverages so new measures can be taken to prevent drink driving. But I think, Sharad, we really need to take a beat here and reconsider the context of the issue at hand. There are multiple angles to consider, not just that of government responsibility and legislation, but also the responsibility of the personal responsibility and also responsibility of the media in covering this issue.
Indeed, Melissa, you know, around the world, many countries that uphold the right of individuals to enjoy all their pleasures, but within certain limits, especially those pleasures that have repercussions for others. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, very sensible laws have been passed around the world. So the question is, when it comes to the way in which this issue has been covered in, you know, our local media, there's a lot of, it's very emotive, often exaggerates the extent of the problem, meaning what is the contribution of drink driving to the overall numbers in terms of traffic accidents?
I feel like that context has not been given, also because perhaps the numbers are not readily disaggregated. But you're absolutely right in terms of how the media has chosen to cover this, what is being said, what is being reported, and why certain news and accidents are highlighted more so than others.
Yeah,
I think that's a question we have to pose to ourselves.
Yeah, I think the numbers are out there. The issue really is, why push this? Then we look at the past response. It's clearly kind of you know, an overblown response to the issue, wanting to halt all things. But that's much more about their own ideological position, the vision they have for the country, which is more consistent with their notions of a religious life or a state that promotes a religious life for all, regardless of their own personal you know, preferences.
Yes.
I think that the other thing that you mentioned, Melissa, which is absolutely true, is personal responsibility. I mean, to what extent, especially in the days today when we have the technology to call taxis very easily and the costs are actually not prohibitive, why not leave your car at home when you go out to drink and take a you know, one of the e-hailing services available?
The other thing is the legislation, right? So apparently the legislation, the idea is to increase the penalties. So currently death caused by individuals driving under the influence of alcohol is charged under the Road Transport Act, carrying a maximum jail term of 10 years, a fine of up to 20,000 ringgit. There's been talk about increasing that. There's also a proposal to lower the permitted blood alcohol. But the other response can also lie to disincentivize drink driving can also lie within enterprise. So perhaps, you know, taking a leaf from the page of other countries, we're getting premises that serve alcohol to limit how much they serve, to practice a good ethics in terms of serving alcohol to those people who are inebriated already.
Yeah, Melissa, you know, we only have to look around the world to see some of the best practices, the forms of disincentives, and also I think along with it, you know, I think there'll be public support for it if it isn't confused with, you know, a conservative agenda that tries to prevent people from living their lives freely. So if you could disaggregate, if you could put aside the ideological agenda that is brought forward by groups like PAS, and just talk of the practicality, the pragmatic approach to this, which is seen in many secular countries, I think we have a win-win situation.
Okay, so that's something for you to reconsider tonight. But let's move on to other news. Speaking of PAS, PAS has asked that PKR not contest in the Chini state by-election, which is scheduled to be held on July 4th. Now, citing the challenging conditions for campaigning while under the CMCO, PAS Vice President said And I quote, that it would be better if there is no contest in Chini to solve the problem, end quote. Now, in the last general election, Barisan Nasional won the Chini seat, and PAS has already said it would fully support BN contesting in that seat. So
It's kind of self-serving, isn't it, Melissa? I mean, oh, look, you know, with the drink driving issue and changing the station, we'd have to have parliament, because we've not had a parliamentary session that allows for any kind of legislation to be debated, never mind being passed. Mm-hmm. Now you have PAS advocating a response to a by-election that actually benefits their side of the aisle in parliament, right? Well, so if the shoe was on the other foot, as it were, if this was a seat that was, which the incumbents were from Pakatan Harapan or the Dr. Mahathir faction of Bersatu, would this principle still apply?
Well, how many times are we going to use COVID-19 as a reason to skip democratic processes?
Melissa, right? I don't think there's going to be an end to using COVID-19 as a way of pushing your own personal political agenda. But it must be said, and we said this before on the show, Melissa, many other countries have both had parliamentary sessions and also conducted elections or primaries, as it happened in the US. And, you know, no evidence has come up to show that, in at least the Taiwanese case, that that this engendered clusters of infection. Yeah. So it bewilders me that this is a suggestion being put forward.
I completely agree. And I think, you know, if this is going to be, in fact, the new normal, then I think we should all normalize that there will be changes in our political life, in our democratic life, and we have to get used to that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. But after this, we're going to take a look at the need to prevent COVID-19 outbreaks at high-risk areas such as detention centres and prisons. So stay tuned to consider this.